Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, and this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Bulls are going to come away with arguably their biggest win of the final stretch.
It's a wrap, Bulls Nation. You can drive home safely. Beep, beep.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That audio courtesy of CHSN. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Hour number three. Bulls are back on the floor tomorrow night for their home finale against Wizards. We'll hear from the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Squircy, this hour. A reminder, guests join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Right now, we're joined by CHEO's Will Gottlieb, who does a terrific job covering the Bulls. Will, thanks for your time this evening. How are things?
Justin, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, let's begin here. What did you make of the Bulls' decision to really lean into load management against the Cavs and then come out with the win that they had last night?
Yeah, it was a little bit interesting just because it kind of goes against what the team has been preaching, really dating back to media day and all season, about taking all these games seriously, using them as opportunities, not only to develop some of the young players in meaningful basketball games, but also just to put their best foot forward in terms of competitive play. So it was a little bit surprising, but you know what? They're going up against a Cleveland Cavaliers team who can effectively seal the number one spot in the Eastern Conference with a win that night, unlikely to win that game. And so basically on the first night of a back-to-back with the second game being a really important one against the Miami Heat, you just kind of want to get yourself rested and healthy going into that Heat game, which obviously they won. I think it looks a little bit worse if they don't come away with the win last night against Miami, where they're able to seal or effectively control the ninth seed in the play-in. But it was a little bit surprising just because, like I said, I mean, it just a little bit of a departure from what the team had been preaching.
Yeah, it certainly felt like they were strategizing how they want to approach the play-in tournament, which seems to be what we've been doing year in, year out for the last few years. And by the way, according to playoffstatus.com, they have a 66% chance of securing that ninth seed, 31% chance at the seventh seed, and just a 4% chance at falling back at the ninth seed. The 10 seed, that is. It does feel like we'll have a good chance at a home game here for that 9 versus 10 game. Will, I saw this stat. I'm sure you did as well. 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, 500 assists. That's what Josh Giddey has done this season. He's the third player to do it, and he's joined by LeBron and the Joker. Like, that's pretty good company. How has your opinion changed at what we've seen from Josh Giddey the second half of the season? I mean, he's ultimately a different player, but I still have my reservations about him. Where do you come out on Josh today?
It's a very fascinating case, especially with his free agency coming up at the end of the season here. He's going to be a restricted free agent, but he's absolutely changed his my opinion of him just with the way that he's played in this second half. He basically got played off the floor in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Going at the Dallas Mavericks, they ignored him. He couldn't make threes. He couldn't make them pay. And so you come into a situation with the Bulls where he's got the ball in his hands a lot more. It was not that surprising to me that he was going to put up big numbers. We've seen him do that at the NBA level with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We've seen him do that in the Olympics with Team Australia. And so to me, it was less about can you put up big numbers and more can you drive winning basketball? And that's what's been the impressive part for me. Bulls are 15-10 after All-Star break here. And a lot of that has to do with the way that Giddey has played, not only putting up those big stats, but just leaning into the pace of play, getting the ball up the floor quickly. He's shooting the ball incredibly well. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but he was over 50% from three for a while there post All-Star break. So doing a lot to answer some of the questions that I have about him. And look, I mean, I was one of the people that was advocating for the Bulls to steer this thing towards the bottom, try to collect another high-level lottery pick. But with the way that both Giddey and Coby White have played, you have to be happy with that. And this is the time where you get to really evaluate, are these things real, right? You go into these meaningful games against last night Miami, next week if they're playing Miami again in the play-in, or even beyond that if they can get into the playoffs. This is where you really put to the test, is this play from Giddey, are these stats that he's accumulating, is that contributing to winning basketball at a meaningful level, or is it just putting up big stats on a bad team? And the way that he's played lately, it's making me feel like it's contributing to winning basketball, and we'll have to see how that maintains and persists. But right now, I mean, you can't deny, obviously, the production, but also just the way that it has led the Bulls to really leaning into the style that they believe is going to help them win games.
How much is Giddey connected to the success of Coby White?
Yeah, I think they played well off of each other. It was a little bit of a sticky situation earlier on in the year, just with Zach LaVine being there. And not to say that there was any sort of personal issues there, but just a lot of ball handlers, right? And I think with Coby really stepping into sort of the primary scoring role following Zach's departure, they're playing well off of each other. Giddey's helping Coby get into his spots a little bit. They're both, like I said, doing a really good job of just getting up the floor and kind of getting the defense on their heels. And I think they're a good tandem. Coby's obviously got the floor spacing ability, the driving and attacking closeouts. And so when Giddey is putting pressure on the rim, collapsing the defense, that allows Coby to get into what he does well. So, I had my questions about them as a pair defensively, for one. I mean, neither of them are premier stoppers on the perimeter, but the way that they're playing offensively has definitely eased some concerns.
We're joined by Will Gottlieb from CHGO with us now on 6-7 of the Score. Will, I found the greatest moment this season, the one probably we're celebrating the most, was that half-court shot by Josh Giddey beating the Lakers, right? You know, Montez was dunking on Luka Doncic in that game. And I thought to myself, they've actually done it. They've created real buzz for a play-in team. Was that maybe the worst thing that could have happened? Because you feel like AK can almost celebrate a little bit creating buzz around a play-in tournament, which it felt like the team is kind of aimed for.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to get excited about these young players and the way they're playing. But to your point, two things can be true. You can understand, look, we're talking about the 9-10 play-in game here. This is not the NBA Finals, let alone even the playoffs. So this group has a lot of work to do, and I think that starts with Arturis Karnišovas. But I was, again, one of those people that was skeptical about the Josh Giddey trade in the first place. I was skeptical about the fit and the general direction. At the end of the day, though, when Arturis made that trade for Giddey, he kind of established him as a core piece moving forward. And so the best thing that could happen was Giddey starts to play really well. Coby starts to play really well. And you have this foundation of young players that you can move forward with. I still think that they have a lot of work to do in terms of accumulating talent. But this was something that needed to happen, whether they got the first pick in the draft or not. And it certainly is not looking like that will be the case. But having a good foundation of young players is never a bad thing. I think the question is just, are you satisfied with this, or are you going to keep building and moving forward? And that is something I'm looking forward to come this offseason.
Bingo. Because from the word satisfaction that you use, the reason why I go, uh-oh, is because does AK feel like, well, let's just run it back because we've got a winner here. If we just keep this core group together, then we can build off of this. Like I feel like there's a fallout or a price to pay in ultimately what is happening right now.
Absolutely. That's how teams get stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
That's where the Bulls have been for the last almost 10 years now since Tom Thibodeau basically left. And so, yeah, you don't want to be satisfied with that. But I will say this. I mean, there's a difference between making the 9-10 playing game as, this young up-and-coming team that's playing an exciting brand of basketball versus, you know, DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso basically dragging this team that's kind of over the hill there for the third straight year. So I do think that there is more reason for optimism, and I think that there is some legitimately great play from some young players, which, again, is a very good thing. But at the same time, you can't be satisfied with that. You can't call it a day and say this is the best we're going to do. You've got to keep building and moving forward. And I think to your point, it's hardest to do that when you're in the middle, right? Because you're not in a position to draft at the top of the draft where more often than not is where you're going to be able to find those stars if you're lucky. But you're also not in a position where you have the young players on your team that can really take you forward. We haven't mentioned Modest Gouzelis yet. I think he's somebody that's playing very inspired basketball right now, and he's somebody that could step into a larger role. I don't know about best player on a championship team, but he's certainly been encouraging. But that's the challenge, right? Is how do you build through the middle? I think it's a very challenging thing to do.
Yeah, one thing I've enjoyed these last couple of months, because, you know, the tank is an organizational plan. Players should only have one plan, and that's to go out there and try to win. So, you know, I felt like we were kind of accepting a tank, and then the players, the 76ers game where they just walloped them, and they're outright tanking. I felt like that gave us a very clear indication. It's like, okay, well, Coby White isn't rolling over, and Josh Giddey's got something to prove, and Kevin Huerter is trying to reestablish his career, and we know how bad Montrezl Bozelis wants to win, and we certainly know that Billy Donovan can coach, and so I credit these players by going, you may all think that was the plan, but watch what we can go out there and do. But ultimately, I wonder, what is Arturis Karnišovas' plan? Like, do we know AK's plan to get from a 9 seed to get into the first 6 and then build from there? Like, is there anything clear about that plan?
We've asked at media availabilities over the past year about, like, the concrete steps that he is moving towards as he turns this roster over. And I don't expect him to come out and, like, lay out the whole blueprint for the media and give away his trade secrets if there are any. But he didn't really, you know, dispel that notion that there's not a plan here either. And so I think that's definitely a concern heading into the offseason. I do think it's a little bit hard to, you know, I guess I'll zoom out and go back to 2021 when they put the team together. That was, I think, a unique and rare example of really overhauling a roster, bringing in 4 or 5 starters, and just like having that plan that you could put together in one offseason. I don't think that's the case here. Obviously, we've seen, you know, Caruso and DeRozan leave the team last offseason. You finally move on from Zach at the trade deadline. Now, can you start to continually and incrementally improve this roster and asset base so that you can maybe make the big swing when that becomes available, whenever that may be? And so I don't know that there is the specific outline of what they need to do and how they need to get there. And maybe that's problematic, but I also think that at this point, they have a little bit of time, and Arturis mentioned this at the trade deadline, like they have an opportunity to be patient here and not cut corners. I think that's the key too. You don't want to get into a situation where you're, you know, sending a bunch of assets to a team for a fringe all-star or a guy that's, you know, a little bit past his prime. So obviously they still need to make moves and get better, but I think kind of laying the foundation with some of these young players that are playing well, implementing the style of play and the culture that they want to set, I think there's an argument to be made for it. I also think there's an argument to be made for tearing down and collecting draft picks as many other teams do. So doesn't come without questions. And like I said, I'm very curious to see how things go this offseason. But as far as what Arturis was going for in terms of establishing that culture, that style of play, developing the young players, creating flexibility on the cap sheet, getting his own pick back, like there are some things to be at least positive about.
We're joined by Will Gottlieb, covers the Bulls for CHGO. Well, before we get to Montas, we'll end it with Montas. But I did want to ask you, because I know you're a numbers guy. You get the game. Did Tyler Hero take what is considered to be the best shot last night, down five, less than a minute to go, clean steal, instead of accepting just the layup? He pulls up for the open three. In today's game, do you believe that to be the right basketball play?
I was pretty baffled by that. I mean, it's in the moment, and like, I mean, he basically stole the ball and took one dribble into a three.
Right.
So the situation was about 45 seconds left, Heat down five. Hero had just made a three to cut it to five, and he gets the steal and pulls up for a three in transition with a wide open runway for a layup. So it's going to be a one possession game if he takes the layup. I don't know exactly what like the math would say in terms of was that a better shot or not. You know, Kevin Herter after the game said it was a ballsy play, and if he made it, he would have looked like a genius. But luckily for the Bulls, he missed it. So it's one of those things that like the outcome is really going to drive how people look back at it. But the fact that he missed it, I don't know if they come back and win that game anyway. They're still down with, you know, less than a minute to play. But I was certainly surprised to see him do that instead of just taking the 2 points.
Now, I had the same thought Herter did. I was like, huge stones. Which, if you know anything about Tyler Hero, I believe in his attempts at sliding in DM successfully. Like, Tyler can go after some things. So I say good for him. But it was a drastic five-point swing. If you know or accept he's going to just get an easy layup, they go down the other floor, and Matas just not an ounce, not a moment where he didn't look like he was going to make that shot. He drains the three. What is the ceiling for Bouzelis?
I don't know. I think that's still unwritten, and I think that's kind of what's exciting about him. You know, a lot of fans were anxious and fervent to see a little bit more of him early on in the season, but Billy Donovan and the coaching staff were hard on him. They forced him to play to their style, to be accountable for the minutes that he was out there, instead of just kind of rolling the ball out there and letting him play through mistakes without consequence. And I think we've seen over these last 10, 15, 20 games here where he's really been a positive contributor in this Bulls stretch run where they actually are playing pretty good basketball. And so I think there's something to it. I think he can continue to grow. I don't want to sit here and say that he's going to be a superstar player. I don't want to sit here and say he can't be a superstar player. But the signs that he's shown, the tools that he has at 6'10", the athleticism, the ball handling, he's shooting the ball a lot better. I'm definitely very high on Modest's future, especially if he continues to play within this style that the Bulls are playing.
Will, you and Matt and Big Dave, you guys do a really great job over at CHGO. Thank you so much for your time joining us. On a Thursday night, the Bulls home finale tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be out there. Thanks for making some time for us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, good stuff, Will Gottlieb. So that shot, if you saw the game, if you heard it right here on 6-7 The Score, I mean, that was a clean pick by Tyler Hero. 45 seconds to go, down five, and instead of just taking the layup, he pulls up for the three. Now, some may say, idiot. But today's game is built, it's not only built on fast breaks, it's built on fast break threes. Why, you ask? It's very simple. It is easier to find open shots when there are less defenders on the floor. The game has changed so drastically because someone said, it was actually the Houston Rockets that really revolutionized it back 2008. They said, we're having our most scoring success in what we've dubbed random plays, meaning we don't set up on offense and go, we're going to set screens here, there, and then we're going to have this guy come over here and you're going to set up over here. No, we have a better chance of getting down the floor faster before your offense does, so you don't have time to set up. And it may be a 2-on-1 fast break. It may be a 3-on-2 fast break. And we can find an open shooter better that way. So what did Tyler Hero did? Well, he's like, well, I have a 1-0 fast break, right? Like, I'm going to take this fast break three with literally no one in front of me. So instead of a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2, he had a 1-0. He had a 1-0, and he pulled up for that three-pointer. I was like, that's some stones, man. Interestingly, how many three-pointers do you take – coming off of a full run? Like, that's a question that I have. It's like, it's not a catch and shoot. You're not dribbling to your right or left or a step back three. It seems like a tough momentum. Now, maybe he works on those, right? I'm sure these guys do work on their fast break threes because it's so much of how many three-pointers can I get up quickly? How many three-pointers can we get back and quickly get the ball back and go shoot another three-pointer? But it was, you know, it wasn't just simply a ballsy play. I think it's a reminder of how many three-pointers these teams want to shoot. And the random play of, can I get my best look with less defenders down the floor? It was a very modern-day approach, although I agree with Will. The right or wrong answer is if you make it. That was very much of either a no, yes, or a no, bad decision, especially as Matas hammers a three immediately. So the Bulls have, again, 66% chance of being the 9 seed. They have a 31% chance of being the 7 seed and just a 4% chance of – no, check that. No, they have no chance at being the 7 seed. This is what the play-in tournament does, right? Gets you talking in circles about seeding. Playoffstatus.com, 66% chance of being a 9 seed, 31% chance – of being the 8 seed, 4% chance of being the 10 seed. So most likely, the Bulls are going to be hosting a game. And we can talk more about that. In fact, we will talk more about that with Chuck Swirsky coming up next. If you want to respond to anything, by the way, how do you feel about the play-in tournament? Is it something where the Bulls, where you look at the NBA and go, man, they have struck gold with this idea, or should it ultimately be gotten rid of? We'll talk about it coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, what a show it's been. You miss anything? We have been loaded, by the way. Lot to talk about, plenty to get to. If you missed it, find it on the Odyssey app. There is the rewind function. Matt Verderam joined us at about 6:30. We talked about the upcoming draft. Matt with Sports Illustrated. Mike Farron was great. SiriusXM, MLB Radio, and ESPN. Mike was not biting on the contract that I thought would be good for both Kyle Tucker and the Cubs. Now, obviously, I was trying to make it good for the Cubs. He's thinking about Kyle Tucker saying, no way, no how. I get it. But Mike was great, 7:30. And Will Gottlieb just joined us in the 8 o'clock hour. We will talk more Bulls with the voice of your Chicago Bulls. Chuck Swirsky will join us coming up in just about 15 minutes away from talking to Chuck. It's been interesting watching the Bulls. You know, I look at the play-in game. I'll be honest, it kind of reminds me of the first four in March Madness. Like, you're not in, but you could get in. Now, the first four, they're not all 16 seeds, right? You do have some 11 seeds, and they move on. And the Miami Heat went all the way to the NBA Finals coming out of the play-in tournament. I try to remind myself that, again, the Bulls, out of 30 NBA teams, they are 19th in winning percentage. So they're really 19th out of 30. Now, they have been playing a very exciting brand of basketball. All I worry is, how does this affect or impact Arturis Karnišovas? Right? How does AK look at this? And if he feels any swell of enthusiasm from a fan base, does that then lead him to go even deeper into thinking this is a winning bunch? Does he feel like this is good enough? Because I'll tell you, it's not. Being ninth out of 15 isn't good enough. Having a 19th winning percentage out of 30 teams does not make me want to put my arms in the air and go, they've done it. Right? Like they've cracked the code. Now, Coby White, legitimate starting potential on a winning team. Absolutely. Montas Puzelis, heading in the right direction. Billy Donovan, to just go, you want us to just, you know, play a half-court game? Sure. And then flip it to being a team that is more modern in virtually a season? That's been, I mean, pretty, pretty fascinating to watch what Billy Donovan can do as a head coach. But am I going to get all up for a play-in tournament? Because the fallout is coming if you think they're going to win two games. In fact, that may be the best thing that happens. They win two games, and then we watch them play the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Here's what I encourage you to do. Watch the Houston Rockets. Then go look at how the Rockets got there. Because the Rockets lost 19 games back-to-back years. Right after trying to go buy superstars, they then went and tanked. And you know, getting two or three great players, like getting your Kevin Durants, the Phoenix Suns are paying more over the tax than anyone this year. And they were just eliminated from the playoffs. So I worry. Well, I shouldn't say I worry about Arturis Karnišovas with what we're watching right now, because I worry about him all the time. I don't spend that much time thinking about him. But I just mean in general, as the man making the decisions for the Bulls, I'm out.
I have a hot take brewing in the chamber.
Oh boy. Right now.
You know what happened in Denver recently this week?
Yeah.
Mike Malone gets fired, their GM gets fired. Arturis Karnišovas used to work for Denver. He was there. He helped draft Nikola Jokic.
Yes, as a second rounder.
Let's say, you know, that owner, he sees what's happening in Chicago right now. They're having success with very limited star power, and they have Jokic. They have Jokic. Let's say that he hires Arturis there. I don't know why. They could get someone better. Let's say. But let's say the bigger issue. What if they take Billy Donovan as well? They said, oh, we saw what they could do with Josh Giddey. Well, I want that with Jokic. That's something that I feel like this stretch of games right now has shown how good Billy Donovan has been here. And I feel like I would be worried, if you're a Bulls fan, that he may be poached. Because why would he want to still be here if there's other better jobs opening down the road?
But he has a rather new contract.
That's true. But they could pay him out.
Why?
Denver wants to win that bad.
They're going to pay the Bulls?
I just sound like a meatball right here. So.
No. Now, would they trade? I don't think.
Give us Jokic.
Let's just keep working through this hot take, maybe off air. and we'll come up with something. We'll come up with something dazzling. Listen, I just said that I think about AK all day and night, which I don't. My bigger point is, do we have the clip about how he likes very good players? Ultimately, what I'm getting to is I will forever be worried about the man making the decisions for an organization that I follow when he says this about building towards a future or a winner.
I think in terms of moving forward, I think there's different structures that you can, try to get to a championship. There's a 2-3, star players, and then a lot of role players, or you can build it as a 9-10 very good players. And I think now we're leaning towards to have a lot of solid good players, a 9-10 that can last through the season, because there's going to be injuries, and I think more and more teams are doing that.
I felt like that was a fireable offense when I heard that quote. Any GM, any president of basketball, baseball, football operations, anyone that is not aiming for great players, what are we doing? What are we doing? Give me 9 or 10 very good players. Is that how you scout? Is that what you're looking for? Be like, listen, I saw Josh. I saw Cooper Flagg play today. He's great, and I'm looking for very good. So we're probably going to pass on that. Like I don't understand how you could step in front of a microphone and basically say we're settling. Basically say we're settling. How you find your great is up to you. Nikola Jokic finding it in a second round selection, game changer. The Golden State Warriors finding Draymond Green as a second rounder, game changer. But to set the bar at very good, what? What? You know where very good gets you? Robbie, you know the answer to this question. Where does very good get you?
The play-in.
It gets you to the play-in tournament. Ding, 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 ding. Right? Like, play that again. Am I mishearing it? Am I hearing that incorrectly? I've listened to it maybe 11 times. I'm still not sure that this is what he act. Did he say there's two ways to win? Great players, two or three great. And then, like, he didn't say two or three great, and they're surrounded by very good. Look, I need to hear it again.
I think in terms of moving forward, I think there's different structures that you can, try to get to a championship. There's a 2-3, star players, and then
I like that one.
A lot of role players, or you can build it as a 9-10 very good players. And I think now we're leaning towards to have a lot of solid good players, a 9-10 that can last through the season, because there's going to be injuries, and I think more and more teams are doing that.
We get very caught up in the phrase. Text line says he's talking about the Caps. Yeah, you're right. He's talking about another team, but the Cavs have great players, and then they have surrounded by very good players, right? Like, they traded for Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Like, they have great players. We get very caught up in this whole big three thing, right? Like, somehow it has to be some player makes enough phone calls or enough texts and they decide who's coming to your team, right? Like, LeBron decided he was going to Miami, or Kevin Durant decided that he was going to Brooklyn or going to Phoenix, however many places he decided he was going to go and not win except for the Golden State Warriors. But ultimately, and I'll say it again, go watch the Houston Rockets. The Rockets decided, let's stop trying to buy players, trade them for picks, and then let's go and find great value and great talent. To actually say out loud, we can find a few great players, or you can just try to win with very good. Like, you've lowered the bar for how good you can be. While putting on a Bulls uniform seems like a very, very bad way to go about things. So when I say that I'm worried about how AK is going to feel about a buzz around a 9 seed, my concerns go way back beyond that. When he couldn't pivot after Lonzo Ball got hurt and was just stuck in the middle with you. Because if there was a walk-up song for AK, that's it. Right now, that makes me think of a movie scene. one of the greatest movie scenes out there. Yeah, oh. Reservoir Dogs. I mean, that's one of the greatest independent films ever made, right? Just, what's his name? Is that Michael Madsen dancing around? Robbie, you're a young guy. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know that Michael Madsen scene?
Sadly, no, I've not seen
You do
this.
Not know Michael Madsen dancing around?
I do not. I've never seen Reservoir Dogs.
Whoa, dude! All right, your Thursday night was just planned. So there's Michael Madsen in one of the best. I don't know, it's very Quentin Tarantino, I'll say that. And then they're stuck in the middle with UK, with AK, who's just aiming for very good players. Right? It's like unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Was that Tarantino's first movie?
It was not. No. His first movie, that may have been the first one he directed.
Right.
Yeah.
I know Pulp Fiction was the big one that put him on the map.
Pulp Fiction, right. He got the money for Pulp Fiction for Good Riddance. And he wrote True Romance was the first movie that he had made. Have you ever seen True Romance?
No.
Oh, my God.
I was born yesterday.
I'm not that. These are classic movies. Classic movies. I would like to end this on good for the Bulls. Good for Bulls players because they have shown that they all had something to prove. They all had something to prove, and they're proving it. And I think they could get into the playoffs. I just know the last time the Bulls won a playoff series was 2015. And aiming for very good, I feel like that 2015 number is going to stay there for a while. How has Chuck Swirsky enjoyed watching this team become who they become? Chuck joins us.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
And this ball game is over. What a big time win for the Chicago Bulls. This crowd at 20,509 celebrating the moment. The final, 119-111.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, we didn't necessarily initially set out this way, but it has been very much the Bears in the 6 o'clock hour, Cubs in baseball 7 o'clock hour, a lot of Bulls, pretty much all Bulls, in the 8 o'clock hour. And let's stick with that. This segment with Chuck Swirsky is sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union. Chuck, it's been, I don't know if you would have felt this coming 2 months ago, but you have had just some tremendous games to call. Obviously, the half-court shot by Josh Giddey, the winner over the Lakers. But then last night as well, playoff atmosphere against the Heat. How much fun was that?
Oh, it was tremendous, and I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. So last night, it was the playoff atmosphere. You could feel it the moment we entered the arena at the tip of the ball game. Even Kevin Herter, who joined us on the postgame show, said, yeah, you know what, this was playoff atmosphere, and he's played in 30 playoff games, so he should know a thing or two about the intensity. And I mean, you know, it came down to, in all candor, it came down to that pull-up three ball by Tyler Hero. Had he made this shot, everyone would have said, wow, that guy is so clutch. But he missed the shot. And instead of taking a breakaway, you know, two-point field goal layup, he elected to go for it. And you know what? When it works, it works. But in this case, it didn't, because that would have made it a 3-point Bulls lead. And you never know after that in a one possession game.
Chuck, your son is a coach in the G League, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have you talked to him about this play? I spent quite a bit of time talking about it. I feel like in today's In today's current game of basketball, with the aggression of shooting three-pointers and fast break three-pointers to try to get your best open look, and Tyler Hero obviously can knock down three-pointers, is that the right basketball play if you have the right shooter in today's game?
Well, I mean, if you have Steph Curry, yes. But, I mean, there's only one Steph Curry.
And listen, Tyler's an all-star.
Yes, he is. You're right. And again, he told reporters after the game if he had to do it again, he would do it again because he's fearless. And I appreciate that. Having said that, you also have to think big picture here and what would have done to the composition of everything you worked hard to get back into the game. And then, you know, you miss the shot. Bulls come down. They make a shot. And essentially the game's over. So, I mean, it is what it is and you move on. But, you know, it'll be interesting if that scenario comes up again, regardless if it happens in the next two games or the play-in game or next season, what Hero will do. But that's a byproduct of what has transpired now in the NBA because of Steph Curry. Steph Curry has revolutionized the game as far as three-point shooting, and it's had a ripple effect into not only the collegiate game, the high school game, the AAU, and how players are taught to play the game. Because now, you know, for example, there's a player Washington has, I believe he's like a 7-footer, second-year player, Tristan Vukovic, and he's shooting threes. Mm-hmm. And if you would have said 5 years ago, is he taking threes? The answer is probably not. I mean, we played Portland a week ago, and Donovan Klingon, who's a really good young player, crashes the boards, solid job, rim protector, but they've got him taking now threes as a stretch five. We were in Utah. Walker Kessler is now taking fives. This is what's going on in the league, and you either are going to be a part of it or you're going to be on the outside looking in.
Next time we'll get to hear Chuck Swirsky call a game. You don't have to wait too long. Tomorrow night, 6:45. Hear that one on AM 780 because the Cubs are playing against the Dodgers tomorrow night in Los Angeles. So AM 780, Bulls, Wizards with a 6:45 start time there. It is, in fact, the home finale at the United Center. They go so quickly, Chuck. This team, with what they've done since the trade of Zach LaVine, I feel like not only is Billy Donovan an incredible coach, but this is a prideful bunch, right? I mean, Kevin Huerter came over here. He wants to reestablish his career. Josh Giddey wants to prove that was a smart move for Alex Caruso. We know what Coby White can do, but the collection, so much to me of what this team has done recently, is about the men that are in that locker room.
Right, and don't forget about Trey Jones, who was doing some serious hooping before that foot injury. And I mean, that trade changed the entire composition of the Bulls. Not only that, you know, from a fan standpoint, I'm not sure what the fans knew the direction of the Bulls before that trade. And what that trade has done, it's not only given juice to the ball club on the court, I think it's given a lot of encouragement and a vision for the fans about the upcoming core group of this ball club. Now, Jones is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. And, you know, as far as Giddey, same thing. But, you know, Giddey has to be in the plans of the Bulls the way he's playing. But that's above my pay grade, and I'll let the higher-ups decide that. But you've got the potential of a core group with Giddey and Bezelis, and, of course, when you start mentioning Coby White. So those are three pieces, really good pieces, and you've got other really good pieces to add to that mix. But, you know, the youth on this team, with the passion and enthusiasm they have and the way they've been hooping and the way they're selfless. I mean, right now they've been in the top five in assists for most of the season. And that isn't an accident because the way they push the ball up the floor, the way they have meshed, especially after the All-Star break with the trade with Giddey and White in the backcourt. And I think it's very, very healthy for this franchise as they move forward.
Chuck, you still got two more games left to go in the regular season. I think there's a good chance you could be calling two play-in games and potentially a playoff series. But if we do not talk again, I just want to say congratulations on a great season. You are a gamer. You always show up ready to go. And thanks for setting a great example for us.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you. And You know, and I mean this sincerely, you know, we get to describe the game, and I love my job, but I also appreciate the hard work of Bill Wennington, Alyssa Bergamini, our engineer Rich Wyatt, people behind the glass like Robbie Triano, who's handling your show tonight, because this is a team effort. Just like on the court in basketball, we can't do this without people that care and that really put themselves in a studio each and every night with the big picture of being a professional. So I appreciate the kind words, and I'm going to be the facilitator like Josh Giddey and give props to others.
You always do. Thanks, Chuck. Have a great call tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you.
All right, there he is, the venerable Chuck Swirsky. Wizards, Bulls tomorrow night at 6:45 start time on AM 780, and then Bulls 76ers Sunday to close out the regular season. Again, a 66% chance of the Bulls being the 9 seed and hosting a game at the United Center. We should probably go over it, right? You got to win the 9-10 game, and then you got to win the loser of the 7-8 game. 7 seed plays the 8 seed. 7 seed or 8 seed, whoever wins goes in. So the Bulls, if you finish in the 9-10, you got to win twice. Very simple. There you go. Did I describe that well, Robbie?
Yes, you did. And right now, the 7 and 8 seeds are the Orlando Magic at 7 and the Atlanta Hawks at 8.
Okay, so the loser of that game will play the winner of the 9-10 game. And let's plan on that being the Bulls beating the Miami Heat, and then they make their way in. Again, if you missed the show, a lot of fun tonight, Robbie. Thank you so much. Again, I made a proclamation early on that first three picks that the Bears have, they're the only team that have three picks in the top 50 given to Ben Johnson his offense. Let Ben Johnson, give him the credit card, and let him go shopping. I also gave you a contract I think Kyle Tucker should consider for the Cubs. That was in the 6 and 7 o'clock hour. Will Gottlieb was great. You missed anything, go back and find it. It's been an incredible show. Robbie Triano, great stuff from you.
You're welcome.
Thank you to all of our great guests.
You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Matt Verderam of NFL, NFL Insider for Sports Illustrated, Mike Farron, SiriusXM, MLB Radio, and ESPN. Will Gottlieb, Bulls beat writer for CHGO. That will do it for us. For Robbie Triano, I'm Judson Richards. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.